Support for the Capital Connection comes from Clean Path New York, working to support New York's economy and bring New Yorkers renewable energy while helping to create jobs. CleanPathNY.com for information.
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
The Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining this week is New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. She's a Democrat. Welcome back. We always love having you on the show, Majority Leader.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's my pleasure. I always enjoy the opportunity.
Well, we love having you here. So let me go far and wide in terms of the questions I'm going to ask you. CNN has suspended Chris Cuomo indefinitely pending a further review of documents revealing how he helped his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, when he was facing charges of sexual harassment. What do you make of all of this mess?
Well, you know, I do understand that these gentlemen are brothers, and there is a bond that is very difficult to be broken. So I understand why he would support his brother. I actually do not understand why he would violate his ethics in doing so. And so, you know, I think it is what it is.
Do you have any siblings, Majority Leader?
I do. As a matter of fact, I am the middle child. I have three siblings that are older. Actually, one of them is deceased. And I have two siblings that are younger.
If one of them asked you for a favor, say, well, you're very important, Majority Leader. You know, you're the number two person in your house. I need a little help here. What does it take to say no?
It would be very easy to say no if it would actually violate the oath of office that I have taken. They understand that if I say I'm going to do something and I swear that to God under oath, then I am going to do that. Now, I will try to help them, but I'll have to find someone else to do it. It wouldn't be me.
So the expectation on the part of family is sometimes, you know, that you're going to help. And if you don't, I remember when George Pataki told my brother, I have a twin brother, Lewis, I like you. Alan, not so much. So, you know, you can get into a lot of trouble based on your brothers and sisters and what they do. Presidents of the United States have done it time and again. There's got to be some resolve in you that as hard as it is to say no, you got to say no sometimes.
It is very difficult to say no to people that you love, or people in general, particularly when they're bringing you a heartfelt topic that is difficult, but it's also doable.
Yeah, you've got to do it. So do you think CNN was wrong in suspending indefinitely Chris Cuomo?
I think CNN has to follow whatever rules and regulations they have in place that he agreed to when he was hired. So I can't make a call on whether they were wrong or whether they were right, because I don't know what those agreements were, but I think they have to do what's in the interest of maintaining the operation of their news show.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some violation of that, they have to deal with. By the way, I do think as a culture, to just want to cancel everything, whatever we don't like what somebody has done, I think that's a big challenge. And I think it's getting, you know, a little further away than where we need things to be. By the way, you know, I'm from a family where, you know, my mom is from Georgia. My dad was from South Carolina. In order for us to know our grandparents, we had to literally travel by car every summer south. And there were very difficult things that my parents had to deal with in order to take us there. So there was this one time that, you know, we stopped to get gas at a Gulf gas station. And my mother had gotten the gas, and then they wouldn't allow us to use the restroom. My mother was so furious. She just really went into a rage, like, you know, I'm paying for this gas. My kids should be able to use the restroom. They still wouldn't let us use it. She vowed at that point that she would never spend another dime at a Gulf gas station. Now, I'm probably about 7 or 8. I remember this conversation like it was yesterday. And here I've had multiple cars and purchased multiple gas in my lifetime, but I've never spent a dime at a Gulf gas station.
Believe me, I get it.
So I think sometimes we have to make decisions for ourselves, but I don't think necessarily society has to necessarily join us in all of those. Because obviously, if they would have, there wouldn't have been that kind of discrimination. And quite honestly, that kind of discrimination still happens because racism is still alive in the world, America.
You bet. It certainly is. I've said it a number of times on the air, and I wonder if you agree with it. America is still a racist country.
I do agree with that.
I think it's hard to deny. I mean, people could give themselves a little test on how this works. Do you walk onto the other side of the street when you see a black face? Do you do this? Do you do that? We see too much of it, and I think people are predisposed to be racist.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's real, and it's still alive and well, but I hope that the time is coming where it will go away. And I don't know, I see young people, particularly children, who, if they're not taught racism by their parents, they don't know it, because no one's born with that.
The Supreme Court is hearing arguments about abortion this week. Are you worried about Roe v. Wade being overturned? We've protected a woman's right to abortion in New York, right?
I think we're protected in New York, but I am concerned for women across the country who may not have that as an option. And, you know, I can only, you know, pray and remain hopeful that the Supreme Court will honor, you know, the Constitution and the existing laws and not reverse Roe v. Wade.
Let's assume, however, that they don't follow your advice. Many of them were appointed by a rogue president. I don't know how else to put it. Abortion was much on the table. What does that do to the Supreme Court? Doesn't it say this is no longer a judicial body? It's a political body which makes decisions based on who appointed them.
Well, I think that brings our nation into a slippery slope that will allow us to eventually implode on ourselves. And it's very discouraging. And again, I'm prayerful that it doesn't happen. I mean, we just think about, you know, the Center for Disease Control and how they were able to be manipulated by the former president to not say what's right in terms of science, but to say what was politically correct for him at the time. And so I really do think that at some point we need to have American institutions, you know, standing on some solid foundations of that the founding fathers have left us. And by all means, we should be able to trust what they say, that it's not political, that it's just the fact of the matter. And the fact of the matter is the women do have a right to say what happens with their body.
We are talking to Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. We always love it when you come on and you talk to us. When we last spoke, Kathy Hochul had just become the first female governor of New York. She, of course, hails from Western New York, like you, and you spoke about your close relationship. So, how's she doing so far? Are you endorsing her for governor?
I absolutely am endorsing her for governor, and I plan to use every strength of my body to work for her campaign. And by the way, I think she's doing very well. You know, she's a very strong young lady. She should not be taken for granted. She will put in the grind that it takes to get things done. She's got experience from every level of government. She's fair. She has compassion. She has people skills, and she knows how to get things done. And I believe that she will demonstrate to New Yorkers that we are really one New York, and that our leadership can come from different geographical areas and still be able to move the state forward.
And yet, she's not black. Will the black vote necessarily go to somebody of color, like our attorney general? Will the black vote get split? Will it adhere to one candidate because they're black? What do you think?
Well, she is not black, but I don't think that there should be a barrier for her to get votes from black people. And by the way, black people have voted for white people for decades. It hasn't been that long ago when there were no black people in office. I mean, we have seen, you know, opportunities for black people to either they vote in their interest, and I think Kathy Hochul is in their interest. Now, by the way, I actually do love Trish James, the attorney general. She's an awesome person. But I think the fact that Kathy is the first woman ever in the history of this state to become governor, that historical significance means something to people. And by the way, when I was running for Congress in 1998, I went into Kathy Hochul's then town council member district of all white people, Democrats being you. They were Democrats, but mostly white people. She took me through that community. She told me when events were happening. She introduced me to people. She helped me network in a community that I was not familiar with. And so if she can take me as a Democrat into her community and say, this is the right person to support because she supports Democratic values, then I certainly can do the same for her. That was in 1998, and we still have a good relationship. And so there were some people in her district who were Democrats as well who would have never done that. They would have never engaged me in their Democratic politics in that community the way she did. And so that speaks to her character. That speaks to her integrity. And that speaks to her value and the way she values people for what they believe and not how they look.
And yet, the majority leader, let's talk about Tish James for a moment. I'm very impressed with her, I'll be honest with you. She is a woman. She's been a very good attorney general of the state of New York. Attorney generals usually succeed to the governorship. Spitzer did, Cuomo did, and a lot of people expected that she would, except that Cuomo had to leave. And one wonders whether, if that wasn't the case, Tish James would have been the leading candidate for governor right now.
I think probably so, although if the governor didn't have to leave by the work that Tish James through her office did, as she rightly should have, he probably would have been running again. And so the fact of the matter is he is not running. And as lieutenant governor, Kathy was sworn in that position, and I think she should be allowed to serve a term. And so, I have a great relationship with Tish James. I would never do anything to disparage her or to hurt her. And she's already aware that the Buffalo Girls are going to stick together.
I love it. What about former Governor Cuomo? You say he's not running. There are those of us who think he's a sneaky guy. He could, at the last moment, get in. If there were seven candidates, he could win.
Well, you're right about that, but I would be working against him as well, because I'm going to support Kathy Hochul all the way.
Gotcha. Now, let me get your reaction to the recent elections where Republicans did quite well in New York, and we also saw self-described Democratic Socialist India Walton won the primary but lost the election to Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown, who was a write-in candidate. It's not easy to win when you're a write-in candidate. What was going on there?
Well, by the way, India is an awesome person. I think she did very well. I'm super proud of her. And I think the only thing that probably kept her from winning in the general election and allowing a historic write-in vote to be successful is that people are not yet comfortable with the DSA. And, you know, until people get that level of comfortability, they're not going to support a candidate who espouses that. Too far to the left right now for most people. You know what? I was shocked by the number of people who, after Mayor Brown lost that primary election, who were upset at the fact that I didn't go vote because I just knew he was going to win. No, you can't ever do that. If you want somebody to win, you have to always go vote. And, you know, Buffalo is a majority Democratic city. And so the people who were calling him and upset and disappointed that they did not show up, they encouraged him to do this, and they turned out in big numbers. I mean, you should have seen the number of people who were clamoring to get him to do this write-in, which is a very difficult thing to do. And just because folks were not paying attention, they just assumed that, you know, because she did not have name recognition, that he was going to be successful because he has been a good mayor, in spite of what some people say. He has been a decent mayor. Everybody does have a shelf life. But I think India Walton ran a fantastic campaign. I mean, I think she definitely has a political career in her future. And I can only say that, you know, I've known her for a while. I have the utmost respect for her. And I think her only downside was to run on a DSA agenda. And the people in Buffalo were not ready to accept that as an agenda for our city.
Just for the few who are listening, don't know what DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, is that what it is?
I'm sorry, Democratic Socialists of America, yes, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, one of the things that people seem to have reacted to was the concept of bail reform. It's a sticky wicket. One person gets a low bail, basically it's their constitutional right. Bail is just so you'll show up. So one person gets low bail, comes out, and does something heinous. And the Democrats seem to have suffered on that one alone. What do you make of it?
Well, I don't think this is a new thing for America. Republicans have generally always done this. It's pretty much the same thing that's always happened. They find a way to criminalize black people in general, and say if we hadn't done this, that there would be less crime. That is the furthest thing from the truth. In fact, most of the people, by and large, who have been given bail have returned and showed up. People who are heinous criminals, the judges should have never let them out in the beginning. And so, I mean, I don't think that you should actually base your decision on somebody's constitutional right because they don't have money that they should stay in jail. And the opposition was able to flip the issue as if some people are not deserving of their constitutional right, and so they shouldn't get it. And they were able to use that to divide people, and generally it's been based on race. And they've been successful in some areas, but I think if Americans and New Yorkers really pay attention to what the Constitution says about you, you should not be incarcerated if you have not been found guilty. Everybody is due a trial. And if you haven't had that, you should not be incarcerated. On the other hand, we do have laws, particularly about guns. If you have a gun, then maybe you do need to have a bail so that you don't get back out and try to use a gun. I think judges have a discretion that they have not used. And I would implore that they would do so, because at the end of the day, everyone wants to be treated fairly. And we already know that there are plenty of experiences in New York where some people have literally died in jail or came out in needing mental health or unable to move their lives forward because they were incarcerated because they couldn't pay bail, not because they were guilty of a crime. And that is not right. And as soon as we get to understand that treating everybody right the same way, the better off we'll all be as New Yorkers and as Americans.
Well, let's assume you're right here, but politically it's not advantageous to the Democrats. What can you do about that? Are you following me?
I think the Democrats need to do a better job of helping people understand, helping people be educated. I mean, you just can't put something out there and then don't tell people the other side of the truth. Clearly, it's not just the conservative Republicans and Republicans who worked against this as an issue. A lot of people worked against it. And, you know, people who work in the correction systems, they organize themselves. Police officers, they organize themselves. By the way, some of these people, we may not need to have as many correction officers if we would stop incarcerating people before they were found guilty. So law enforcement has fed itself on criminalizing people before they were even convicted of a crime. And so obviously they're going to be in opposition to this. People need to understand that this is about being fair. And so we lost that battle in some of these races in New York State because we didn't get out the right message around bail. And you know, granted, it's very difficult to educate people who already have a mindset that there's something wrong with you as a black person anyway. So you got a higher hill to climb to make that education process happen. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it.
Governor Hochul made a point to say she wanted New Yorkers to believe in government again, to essentially restore faith in state government, which is often mired in ethical scandals. She's named some new members to J-Joke. But how do you have independence when the governor does the appointing? I mean, sooner or later, we know that Governor Cuomo appointed some characters to his J-Cope group. And now, how do we know? Is there some way to guarantee that the people on these ethics commissions pass some kind of a litmus test?
Well, I think that you're going to be almost godly in order to be able to do that. Because at the end of the day, the people who serve in and on these committees are just people, men or women or transgender or whatever. They're just people. And at some point, you know, we're going to have to trust what they do and trust that is right. It's hard for us to do that, particularly as New Yorkers, because we've seen so many failures as it relates to ethics. But then the vast majority of people who serve in state government have never had any ethical issues at all. But we still keep looking for ways to strengthen ethics. So I'm not sure if we're working against ourselves sometimes.
You know, I'm thinking of Mr. Malatros, who was one of the governor's closest advisors, and who gets to be the head of the institution I served in for 40 years, State University of New York. Does that pass the stink test to you?
You know, I haven't really delved into Mr. Malatros's background in terms of dealing with higher ed, but I would say that since he's been there, I don't see any really major scandals coming out or anything that, you know, we should be looking at as it relates to being unethical. I do think that, you know, we need to do a deeper dive into the effectiveness of state education department as well as SUNY, because if we're living in a society where we keep figuring out a way to pay for people to be educated, and then at the end of the day, some people end up not being educated, not having a degree, and having tons of debt, then we're doing something wrong, and we need to be looking at that. So if we want to judge Melantris on anything at all, we should be judging her on how SUNY is retaining and CUNY is retaining students. Our students leaving with degrees that then will allow them to be able to work to pay this exorbitant student debt that they end up with. All of these things, I think, are issues that need to be looked at. And I don't know if that necessarily calls for an ethical review as it does for an accountability review.
So, Majority Leader, let me ask you this. I think of him often. He used to be on this program quite a bit when Mario Cuomo wouldn't show up. But Shelley Silver, do you ever think about what happened to him? Is he an object lesson to so many other legislators that they had better be very careful with their words and what they say and what they ask for?
He absolutely is, and I trust that people are paying attention. I know that I am. I'm crossing every T and dotting every I because I know at the end of the day, I don't want to end up where he is. And by the way, I don't know how that serves the public. As an old man, he's in jail. I mean, I don't know how that helps us as people, except for to see it as an example that you shouldn't be doing whatever he did.
Yeah. Yeah, very sad, I think. I mean, he wasn't exactly a murderer. So, but he's paid quite a price for whatever he did. So now let's talk about the way in which the Democrats need to behave now that they're in the supermajority in both houses of the legislature. Is it conceivable that in blue state of New York, the Republicans could make a comeback?
Well, for God's sakes, I hope not.
Yeah.
Particularly if we have to look at an agenda of, you know, the conservative Republicans that will think it's okay for police to kill black people, say it's okay to incarcerate people even though they haven't been convicted of a crime, would say it's okay to storm the United States Capitol with Confederate flags. If that's what we want to come back to, I would say no. I hope that that doesn't happen, and I hope the Democrats do whatever it takes to make sure it doesn't happen.
Are you worried about the upcoming elections? It did seem that in the last round, the Republicans were making some gains.
I am not worried about it. I think we can recoup and recover. I think we know what we need to do as Democrats. We need to do a better messaging job of getting out the message that, you know, God is not a respecter of person, and neither should we be. And we should be implementing policies that are fair and equitable to all people.
Are we getting any closer to legalized pot?
Yes. Actually, it's already legal. But we're getting closer to a regulatory system that will, you know, put policies in place that will allow people to be licensed to sell.
Yeah, but, you know, here in Massachusetts,
it's a legal product, but it's not legal to sell yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's legal, but it's not legal. In Massachusetts, where I live, it's legal, and, you know, pot places all over the place. So you must be getting some pushback from people who say, enough already, let us smoke.
I think people are already smoking. Well, you know, because we talked. I wanted to see the board put in place before we left session. And it wasn't up to me to do that. It was up to the executive branch, and they did it. But as soon as, you know, Mr. Cuomo was out and Ms. Hochul was in as our governor, she asked me for a recommendation. What should she do? And I said, you should appoint the Cannabis Control Board. You should do that right away, because to legalize a product and not set up a regulatory process for how it should be used in open society, you know, it leaves the market going awry. And that's what it's doing. It's, people are all over the place with it now. And the sooner we get in regulation in place, the sooner we can pull it under control and have something going on like you have in Massachusetts.
So, Majority Leader, let me ask you this. Governor Hochul declared a state of emergency last week to deal with the upsurge in the Delta variant and anticipation of the Omicron variant coming to New York. Is that something the legislature should be doing?
The governor has the authority to, you know, do executive orders. The legislature doesn't necessarily have the authority to do executive orders for the entire state. I think she does, and I'm glad she did. By the way, I really wish that, you know, I know that people feel like this is an issue of liberty, whether or not they take a vaccine. I get it. But if you don't want to take a vaccine, at minimum, you should be okay to wear a mask, because there's some of us who don't mind taking a vaccine, and we want our liberty to be able to walk safely in a society where we don't have to worry about catching COVID. And so it's a sad day when the government has to say, you can't do this, you can't do that, because you won't do what it takes to protect not just yourself, but your family and other people's families as well.
To which I say, Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, amen. I'm so glad you were able to join us this week and to give us your thinking on this. It's always wonderful to have you because you do speak your mind, and I'm very appreciative. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. I trust you will have a safe and happy holiday season.
We'll keep trying.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Or visit us online anytime at WAMC.org, or you can even schedule a podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure to ask for program number 2149 and join us again next week at this same time for another Political Conversation with Alan Chartok. I'm your producer, David Gustina. Thanks for listening.